It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And we were talking about that crowd at Citi Field. They announced it was the largest non-Subway Series back-to-back attendance in Citi Field history. 87,291 over the two games against the Phillies. And what was nice to see on Sunday was there weren't that many Philly fans there.
Yeah.
There were Philly fans there, but it wasn't a lot. It wasn't overwhelming.
And you could tell the roars were so loud. It was a good job by the Met fans all weekend, because I think we approached the weekend thinking, and you had warned everybody, Philly fans are going to take over.
That's what I thought.
They were more noticeable on TV Saturday, but still it never felt overwhelming at any point all weekend.
No, it did not. Great job by the Met crowd. Great job by the Mets. Brandon Nimmo waking up. They win 3 out of 4. They are now in position where if they win a series against the Atlanta Braves, they go to the postseason. They are at a win total that most people didn't think they'd get to, and here they are. And we talked about this a few months ago. What's the win total going to need to be for the New York Mets to make the postseason? And I said to you about a month and a half ago, I think it's going to be 90. And you thought I was nuts. Mm-hmm. You said 90. That's way too high. Well, they're at 87, and I got news for you. If they go 3-3 and finish at 90, I don't think that's enough. I think they're going to have to win 91.
Well, that's enough if two of them reverse Atlanta, it's enough.
Say that again?
If two of them are versus Atlanta, it's enough.
That is enough, but in general, I'm not sure if three will be enough. Because that could mean losing 2 out of 3 to Atlanta and winning 2 out of 3 against Milwaukee, and that may not be enough.
Imagine telling all of us the Mets could win 91 games after Jorge Lopez chucked his glove into the crowd that night.
Well, that is the real moment. So before the season started, there certainly was a lot of negativity about the team. You know, this pitching's the worst I've ever seen. They signed a bunch of schmucks. You know, whatever people said about this Met team coming into the season.
Well, remember, they have a lab.
What was that?
Remember, the pitching is a lab.
Well, they do. They have a pitching lab.
Yeah.
I know you're being sarcastic, but they do. It actually works very well.
Seemingly.
And they've done a great job this season. Look at all the guys that have developed.
I've seen it.
No, there's really a pitching lab, bro. Like, do I have to explain this to you?
No. I've seen the career years from the pitchers, man. I think it's great.
Yeah.
It's great. Okay. Do everything you can to make sure you seize the moment and win a game.
I don't like what you're doing, but let me get back to what I was saying, because now you're just you're veering me off. Now I forgot what I was going to say, actually. Oh, yeah. There weren't a lot of expectations for this team. But when they got to 11 games under, when they were sitting there Memorial Day weekend and hit rock bottom after this 3-game sweep against the LA Dodgers, that was the moment of, all right, this season's just lost. And for them to not only turn it around since then, but they have been the best team in baseball since then. Think about that for a second. Since June 1st, the New York Mets have the best record in Major League Baseball. That's an extended period of time where they have played at this incredible level. But the job is not done. They still need to find a way to win 2 games against the Atlanta Braves and secure this bad boy. Obviously, we've talked a lot of Giants as well. You can rewind on the Odyssey app
What? Yeah, I'm just thinking about, I know, like, I could see, I forget, what you call yourself, a prophecy? A prophet?
A prophet.
When the hell have I called myself a prophet?
You called himself that once, and I always go back on it. You can see the future. And I can see the tension in you.
I am tense, yes.
About this. But it's so funny because I do believe we're going to be sitting here a week from today and we're going to laugh at how tense you were about, they're going to make the playoffs. And the focus is going to become, you know, they've been the best team in baseball since. Why can't they win a World Series? Think about that. We are 7 days away on WFAN from questioning, why can't the Mets win a World Series?
I don't think I'll get to that point on Monday. I think people can do whatever they want. I'm talking about myself. You're asking about me. I think on Monday, if the Mets are in the postseason, my focus will be squarely on whoever they're playing. So if it's the San Diego Padres, it's going to be all about revenge for 2022. It's all going to be about the matchups. It's all going to be about convincing Ryan Hurley that maybe I should fly to San Diego for a couple of days. Things like that. The World Series, look, I've said this to you before, so I'll get the argument out of the way now because I don't want to do it on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. If you make the postseason, you can win the World Series. I don't care if you're the New York Mets. I don't care for the Detroit Tigers. One of my closest friends is a Detroit Tiger fan. I was texting him this morning saying, bro, I can't believe this. Like, maybe you saw it coming, but the Tigers are in a playoff spot. And I said that to him, and it's true. They can win a World Series. Like, anybody can. And that's what I was stressing back in March when people looked at the Mets or any other team and said, even if they made the playoffs, what does that mean? What it means is you can get hot. Anybody can get hot.
Yeah.
So I don't even think that's debatable. It just is what it is. That's the way baseball is structured. But in the moment, if they're in the postseason a week from now, it's all about that series. And I think everybody with a half a brain knows that anybody who makes the playoffs can win.
We're the closest to a Subway Series we've been since 2000.
Don't do this.
Think about how insane that is.
That's not true. 2006.
No.
I'm 2006, the Yankees were in the ALDS against the Tigers.
I understand
that. And the Mets were busy whipping that Dodger ass. Remember that?
I get it. I'm talking about the feels of the teams and also add in the openness of the leagues around them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel really good about each of these teams' paths.
Predicting a Subway World Series right now?
I'm not there yet. And actually, if you had to ask me today, I kind of am more worried about the Yankees falling short than the Mets. I think if the Mets get in, I think they take off in October.
Well, they're certainly dangerous enough because of the way this team has pitched. But it's also such a crapshoot. I mean, if the Mets make the postseason, they are playing a best-of-three series against Milwaukee, San Diego. It could still be Arizona, right? Hey, it's best-of-three. I mean, anybody can win a best-of-three.
But with their pitching, I mean, Manaea's basically Walter Big Train Johnson.
All right. Pipe down a little bit. I see what you're doing. I don't really like it. I don't appreciate it either. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to your calls with Zeke and Flatbush. What's up, Zeke?
What's going on, gentlemen? How you doing?
Good. What's on your mind, man?
Evan, essentially what you're saying is that the Mets, I'm a Yankee fan, by the way, but the Mets have to channel their inner Cody Rhodes and finish their story.
Damn right.
Yeah. Well, I've got to be honest with you. Yeah. I kind of, as a Yankee fan, agree a little bit with Lukey over there. I'm a little bit more worried about the Yankees than I am about the Mets. I think the Mets have put together.
First of all, Zeke, I apologize. Sean is very offended by the fact that you've messed up Lugie and Sean. And what these guys don't understand is that they sound very similar.
How
and
are we still doing this? This show's 16 months old.
But not everybody listens to every second. And they hear you two guys. And they hear, they hear loud, squeaky voices. And you sound very similar. So take offense to it.
No. Only when our engines rev up do we sound similar. Otherwise, I think we sound different. Also, anytime you hear a sensible take, you know it's me. Anytime you hear something outlandish or sticky, you know it's Tommy.
I don't know why.
I think DeVito might be the answer.
Right. I don't know why people do this, and I can promise you, you could try me on this if you want. Some people in radio get very offended when you misunderstand who they are. Like if someone called up right now and called me...
Earl? Eric?
Anybody. No. Eric called me Greg, called me Keith, called me Rosie for Paul Rosenberg, called me, you know, Alvin. I wouldn't give two craps. I would laugh. But a lot of people in this business, I've noticed this, and you're clearly one of them, get deeply offended if someone makes that mistake.
They listen
to the radio. Maybe they got confused. Maybe they thought they were talking to Al Cintron. They didn't know they were talking to me. It's not a big deal, bro.
Look.
So we called you Lugie. Really? Is that the end of the world?
Yes.
He agreed with your opinion.
No, he agreed with Lugie's opinion.
No.
He agreed with your opinion. He just thought I said it.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, we're married at the hip, big boy. You and me, we are on a journey together. So just live with it.
It's okay. It really is okay.
I'm your Lex Luthor.
I wouldn't get offended if anybody called me by any name. They'd call me Boomer. I'd say, what's up? I mean, who cares?
The Nets still in the league.
Who cares?
I think Boomer might be offended.
Well, that is true. Boomer may be offended. That's him. I'm talking about myself.
I couldn't give two craps.
You can call me any name you want.
Just make sure that check clears every 2 weeks. I think you have an ego. I think that's what this comes out to.
Sure,
Evan,
I have an
not
ego.
Not an egomaniac. Evan, a man of the people, goes to a lot of games, even goes to net games. You got an ego.
I do have an ego. I'm an E-list celebrity, and I should be treated as such.
E, keep going.
Q? So, what the man said before you got very upset and cut him off rudely was he agrees, as a Yankee fan, he's more worried about the Yankees going on a run than the Mets. Why you guys are wrong has nothing to do with the teams. It has to do with the simple math. The Yankees are already in the divisional series. You're already there.
No, we're not.
But you are, though.
You can't do that back
to
us.
All you've got to do is win a game, not just against the Orioles, against the Pirates.
We told you the Mets had clinched the playoffs, but you didn't want to hear it. The Yankees have not clinched the division yet.
They're going to clinch the division?
I feel good about it, but anything's possible.
Okay, it's not. For anyone who doesn't understand the mathematics with this, if the Yankees either win a game or the Orioles lose a game, whether it's these three coming up at Yankee Stadium or over the weekend, the Yankees win the American League East. So I think you guys have it, and that means you're in the divisional series. You're one round ahead of where the Mets are. Because if the Mets make the playoffs, obviously it's right into the wild card round where it is still very likely they're going to be on the road. Well, they're going to have to win a best of three away, likely San Diego or Milwaukee.
Oh, man.
Just explaining the scenarios.
Maybe we should go to San Diego.
I'm up for it, man. That's for sure.
Beautiful place.
Or Milwaukee, for that matter. I've been to both of those stadiums. Very nice stadiums.
Yeah, by the way, definitely the same.
What, are you talking about the cities?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you, when I went to Milwaukee, it was the middle of August, so it felt the same. Great. It was beautiful. Weather was nice. I almost died in Milwaukee. Do you know about that?
No. Did your cat try to spread your ashes?
No, I was I was at a Brewers game. They were playing the Mets. I was at Miller Park.
Would you go down the slide?
And no, I got dehydrated. I had no water in my body.
In a dome?
And I just got dehydrated. I don't even think it was the weather, bro. I think it was just I wasn't doing a good job of taking care of myself. And I got up to go to the bathroom, and I started wobbling. I guess I was like, oh, my God, I'm in trouble. And then I sat down on the stoop, like the area where you go down to your seat, and an usher came over to me and said, are you okay? And I said, dude, I got to be honest with you, I'm not. And he looked at me and said, give me a second. Got me water, started drinking it, felt a lot better. Yeah, I'm doing okay.
So what I took from that story is
almost dropped dead.
You were so intent on figuring out what the count was to Ryan Braun when he had a sack fly.
Mm-hmm.
That you forgot to drink water the entire game.
I think that's relatively accurate, yes. That's exactly what happened.
My God.
Neil is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Neil?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? How are you guys?
Good, man. What's on your mind today?
Happy Met fan. It's more nervous, but happy Met fan. Was at the game last night. Unbelievable energy. Ev, you kind of talked about it before. Something I'm a little worried about in this next six games is Edwin Diaz's lack of, I don't even want to call it lack of effort, just lack of awareness or ability to throw to first base and even try to hold a runner on.
Yeah.
Is it just me or is it absolutely ridiculous that he lets up a walk or a hit, the guy's on third base in two pitches?
Well, it's not ridiculous for you to feel that way. I think we all feel that way, and it's very dangerous. And what it does is it gives you a very small margin for error. Because if you do walk a guy, which Edwin can do, we saw it last night when all of a sudden he lost the strike zone against Brandon Marsh, you can give up a blue pit and the game could be tied. You give up a blue pit and all of a sudden you're down in the game.
Yeah.
So it is important to not just allow base runners to go to second and third base whenever you want. He did it in the eighth inning with Trey Turner with one out. And luckily Diaz was able to overcome it because he was so good and got a couple of big outs. But it is a dangerous game to play. And I think what they're doing is they want him so focused on the hitter that he's not, you know, stepping off, getting distracted, trying to throw to first base, maybe throwing it away. But he has to do a better job. Because what it does is if you put a guy on base like he did in the eighth and ninth inning of this game, you just eliminate your margin for error. I mean, think about how the Mets could have lost last night. The Phillies had second and third and two outs because Edwin Diaz walked the guy and allowed him to just steal a bunch of bases.
You think we would have been killing Diaz more or killing Alvarez for the throw?
If the run had scored there?
Yeah.
Well, I think we would have killed Alvarez on that particular play, but what if Cody Clemens blooped the base hit and the Phillies took the lead?
That's true. Yeah, we would have been killing Diaz.
Well, we'd be killing the idea of you can't just let guys run wild on you.
But you know why we're not
killing
him?
And that's one of the risks.
Because these Mets are different.
Well, no, he was different, and he got the big outs. Yeah. But you're putting yourself in a spot where you have no margin for error.
Yeah, nope.
So I
sounds
hope
familiar, by the way.
What was that?
Sounds familiar.
With who?
What we've been complaining about with Clay Holmes all year.
Nah, Clay Holmes and Edwin Diaz are not. Come on, don't insult me like that.
Diaz is better. Holmes.
Clay Holmes isn't even in your closer anymore.
Holmes, but this was the problem with Holmes. Put everybody on. Trevino couldn't throw anybody out.
Right.
And it cost the Yankee games.
Yeah. Let's go to James in Brooklyn. What's up, James?
Hi. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Good. First, I'm a big fan of you and all you guys over there. You know, I'm a Rico Bronya podcast guy. I just did that. So, listen, I got a bone to pick with you. You said
go
that
ahead.
They lost in the second half because of execution. Bro, execution is vital to every sporting event. Okay? So, you can't say because of that.
Are you talking, hold on, I want to get straight what we're talking about. You're talking about the Giants in the second half yesterday?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Giants, sorry I wasn't more clear about that.
Fine.
Giants in the second half, right? Okay. Listen, it's an old cliche, but he was coaching not to lose. Okay, not a conspiracy, anything. He was coaching not to lose. So you could see how the plays that were developed, and that's what he did, and that's why we were in that position.
But James, that's not true. Like, you can say something over and over again, and you can say it with a deep, sexy voice. It doesn't make it true.
Right.
Like, if you go back through the second half of this Giants game, outside of where they settled for a field goal, because I disagree with Coach Stable, and I guess I agree with you, that I would have been more aggressive than just running with Devin Singletary three times in a row and settling for a 48-yard field goal. But if you look at the play calls, in the second half of this game. In fact, if I had to ask you to guess the throw-run breakdown before that missed field goal drive, I wonder what you would have guessed. Because the numbers would actually tell you that they ran, and this is off the top of my head, I think 20 plays, mm-hmm. and I think they ran on 14 of them. I'm sorry, threw on 14 of them.
Yeah, they were throwing a lot on first and second down.
They were aggressive throwing on first and second down, and unfortunately, for a myriad of reasons, whether it was penalties, whether it was Daniel missing his targets, they missed out. It was just, it was lack of execution by the quarterback. There were bad penalties. That was not play calling in going into a shell. And just because you say it, you can't back it up with what actually happened. I can bore you and go through every play, and then you'll have to admit, oh, I guess you're right. They weren't getting that conservative. They got conservative on one decision, which was to kick the field goal with Greg Joseph, which I agree. I wouldn't have done
that. That's the point.
But outside of that, he was aggressive.
This is why it all ties together. You know, series to series, these games and coaching them, is you have to string it along. Brian Daboll had two eyes. He had the same two eyes we all did watching the game, which was what they were calling aggressively in the second half. Jones, for whatever reason, had lost at the offensive line, maybe, you know, was getting beat. Thomas was getting beat a little bit. He then coached in that scenario based on field position that he thought he was going to be close enough to get a field goal that would have essentially ended the game. That's why I didn't have a problem with it.
Let's go to Pat on Long Island. Hey, Pat.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
I'm calling, it was a little while ago, there was that guy who was saying give up on Thursday.
Give up on Thursday.
I think the Giants should be leading the
division. What do you mean
division.
Give up on Thursday? Well, hold on a second. What do you mean give up on Thursday? What does that mean, actually?
Aren't you guys playing the Cowboys?
Oh, let me
dream guy.
Let me rephrase that then. A caller called in and said, you're nuts, basically, to think the Giants could beat the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday. Go ahead now. I apologize.
You guys should be leading the division with, despite what happened in the game with the Commanders. And I'm a Jets fan saying this, but what I've seen is that with the trust slowly coming more with this neighbors, Daniel Jones connection and the O-line, everything working together, they're not just staring at the one Saquon situation. It's just you guys look better as a whole, should be leading the division because you have would have had the win against the Commanders and the Eagles would be.
The only thing I want to push back on that is that the NFL is built on games you could have won.
Yep.
It's built on it. So you say the Giants could be leading the division. Well, I could counter that and say the Eagles should be undefeated.
Right? No,
because
you're right.
If Saquon Barkley catches a pass that's in his hands, the Eagles win.
Right?
So
if CeeDee Lamb doesn't fumble yesterday, the Cowboys probably win.
Right. There's a lot of that. So I think it's easier to say, look, are the Giants playing better the last 2 weeks? Yes. Was week two winnable? Certainly it was. Yesterday, they won. You feel better about the direction of the team. But the could it be, should it be, would it be thing,
yeah.
I don't love it just because I think like you can go through every NFL game over the course of a season or over the course of a week and play that game with everybody.
And on that note, because nobody's referencing week one with the Vikings, who, by the way, won again yesterday, you owe an apology to Christian McCaffrey.
I owe an apology to Christian McCaffrey?
You shredded Christian McCaffrey when he came out and said we're playing a better football team in week two when he mentioned the Minnesota
Vikings. First
of all,
it wasn't Christian McCaffrey. It was Nick Bosa. So let's get that right.
So then you do know that you owe somebody an apology. You're so quick to get the name right.
No, don't catch me on that. You brought up Christian McCaffrey, who's on IR,
right.
And I'm like, why would I apologize to him? Did I say something about his girlfriend?
Okay,
like, what
remember,
did I do?
Bottom line, I just think you should apologize because he was right about the Vikings.
That the Vikings are better than the Jets?
Well, not only that, I think...
That's what he implied, and what I said at the time was Nick Bosa stopped himself and said the Vikings are playing better than the New York Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And the Vikings are off to an incredible start, so... Let's just cut to the chase. Let's not play stupid games.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that I should acknowledge that the Minnesota Vikings are a better team than the New York Jets? Is that what you're asking for?
Yes. In fact, I would acknowledge right now, as it stands through 3 weeks of the NFL season, there is no shame in losing to the Vikings. And right now I could say losing to the 49ers feels kind of embarrassing. So just apologize.
Not for a whole time. Don't play that game.
I'm not trying to play a game. I'm just laying out the facts for the audience.
Do you think the San Francisco 49ers are going to throw in a mediocre season this year?
Certainly feels that way. It certainly feels
like
especially with their injuries, they're starting to feel like
homecoming. Look, they're banged up. Debo's banged up. McCaffrey's banged up. I get all that. Are you trying to tell me you think the Niners are going to finish with like a 6 or 7 win season?
I think it's distinctly possible.
Okay, I think you're overreacting to 3 weeks of the football season. And I think the other mistake that you're making is while I acknowledge that the Vikings are off to a great start and they deserve a lot of credit, as does Sam Darnold, mm-hmm. where I do apologize to Tiki, who argued with me about, Sam's going to be great. He's just in a better situation. I do think that the Vikings are off to a wonderful start, But it is September 23rd.
Uh-huh.
And if you make decisions based on what happened that week to go back 2 weeks earlier to reform your decisions, you are going to flip-flop more than any other politician you'll see. You realize that, right?
Maybe, but I think
because what if the Cowboys beat the Giants 45-3 this week after what we're now thinking about Dallas?
Yeah.
Like, every week is different in the NFL. Right. The New York Jets lost to the San Francisco 49ers week one. I completely acknowledge it. They were basically blown off the field. But I don't think the Niners being ineffective the last 2 weeks proves that's bad or that's good. That's just something losers tell themselves to make themselves feel better.
Whatever helps tuck you in at night, all I know is as we sit here on September 23rd, it is a more embarrassing loss in the NFL this year to have lost to the 49ers than it is the Vikings.
I don't think that's fair, and I'll tell you why. I don't think you can retroactively make those decisions.
Yes,
I think
you have to. Because you go based on what you know.
No, you got, in the moment.
Yeah.
In the moment.
And by the way, a tight game with the Titans feels bad, too.
You know, win's a win.
Fair.
You had a relatively tight game against the Browns. The win's a win. And we both acknowledge that.
Hey.
But I don't think you can play that game. Because then you have to edit every opinion you have every single week. You got to start over. If you start doing that, you're going to lose your freaking mind. You got to go week by week.
All right, so you're not apologizing to Nick Bosa?
No!
What about to Christian McCaffrey?
Are you going to apologize to Nick Bosa if the Jets smoke the Vikings in 2 weeks in London?
I mean, again,
what if that happened?
I'm weary on crediting anybody with a win out of U.S. soil.
Oh,
but okay.
Stop with that!
Things are different. The travel's different.
Are you playing a game in Germany this year?
Yeah, they could lose.
And that doesn't count?
No.
Well, you're going to lose. You're facing the Red Rifle now.
Possible?
You better watch out.
It's certainly possible.
You're trying very hard to goat me, and I'm not going to be goated. You want to know why?
Why?
Because I'm comfortable in my jet skin. Okay. And the one thing I'm very comfortable with is not engaging in the Niners stink now. That's a bad win. That's a bad loss.
Are you
kidding me? What are you, 9 years old?
I'm not 9 years old. I'm just observing the NFL through 3 weeks. And I also need to ask
this. Do you think the Giants are better than the Jets? Grow a pair, and if you feel that way, say it.
I think if they were playing each other this week, the Giants win the game.
Do you really?
I'm a fat moron.
Do you really think that?
I do.
All right.
This week. He gets me again in December.
He only gets to say it because they're not playing each other.
Well, I would also say
it's the easiest thing to say in the world.
You know me. I'm driving the Jet bandwagon. I picked them to win 16 games.
No.
I'm their biggest believer on here.
Sean.
What?
You can't claim you're driving the Jet bandwagon and then take your petty shots at them.
I'm not taking
every
petty shot.
Chance you get.
This is the only thing I will say. I was a little disappointed in Jet fans yesterday on a day where you were off, where many, especially on social media, watching the Malik Nabers highlights. Why do you guys care that he's so good?
Because you kept bringing up he's better than Garrett Wilson.
It's weird, man. You guys should focus on your own team. It's just a little weird.
No, don't
accuse
us.
It's a little weird.
You're the ones that started
it. It's like it's bothering you that the Giants have an awesome player. Just calm down, guys.
It does not bother me that Malik Nabers, through 3 weeks, has put up better numbers than Garrett Wilson. It doesn't bother me at all.
I didn't even mention Garrett Wilson, so clearly it bothers you. You're bringing it back to Garrett. Who said anything about Garrett Wilson?
You did at the start of the season.
No, but I didn't today. So clearly it was on your mind. There, I got you.
You're implying it.
No,
why else would Jet fans?
Did I say anything about Garrett Wilson, folks?
No, but you're implying that. Why else would Jet fans care about Malik Nabers?
I don't know. I was asking you, but clearly you answered.
That's why I'm
bothering you. He's better than Garrett Wilson. I didn't say that. There you have it, folks.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I regret something. I regret being the fair person that I am and rooting for the New York Giants. Because one win, look what it does to this guy.
Didn't do me anything. I told you I'm scared of Dallas.
You're out here taking shots at the Jets.
No, I wasn't. I told you. One I picked up 16 games, and I'm on pace. I'm going to be right about this team.
The Giants suck.
Thank you, Aaron.
You're just so focused on the Garrett Wilson neighbors. It's weird, man. Just calm down. Take a cold shower.
Look at this guy. This guy's unbelievable. Boy, you got it. You know what? I hate to say this. Cowboys got to beat the crap out of you now.
And
I feel bad saying that.
He just worked you into such a pretzel, and I had to watch this, and I was helpless. I was trying to jump in. He wasn't taking shots at the Jets. He was propping up the Giants. He's looking at the Giant Viking loss and now saying the Vikings are really good.
Oh, you don't think it was so anti-Jet?
No,
I got you to admit a lot of things, Evan, which was scary.
You squeal. Jeez, dude.
I didn't squeal at all.
Got you so good on that one.
But I feel good still. Like, I'm not mad. I'm not angry at him. And you want to know why I'm not angry at him? Because I know what he knows, what everyone else knows. The Jets are better. I'm not worried about you.
Not if we played this week. Giants would be laying 2.5.
Hey, come on. Stop
I'm
it.
A fat moron.
Yeah, you are.
21 points for Stats.
We'll get back to your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. And if you missed it, I want to play to you what Francisco Lindor said yesterday about his injury status. And we'll explore if this sounds like a guy who's going to play baseball again. Because I heard him, and I'm not confident that we're going to see Francisco Lindor anytime soon. We'll take a listen to it. We'll talk to you on the phone lines as well, 888-808-1019. We'll make our NFL picks for tonight as well with two Monday night games. That's coming up a lot later on. Evan and Tiki on the Fan. Tiki will be back tomorrow. He's got some business to attend with the New York Giants. I'm not sure what the business is. We'll grill him tomorrow when he's back on the show at 2 o'clock. I'm not going to offer any opinion until I play this audio for everybody in the audience because I want you to hear it. I want you to digest it if you haven't heard it yet. And then we could all come together with a consensus. Francisco Lindor did not play on this homestand. That is not a surprise. Remember, he left Friday night's game a week from Friday, so 9 days ago. He left with a back issue. He did not play Saturday against the Phillies in Philly. Started the game on Sunday, got a leadoff base hit, looked a little ginger running the bases, came out of the game after an inning and a half. And then, obviously, we started to have this day-to-day situation. He ended up not playing at all against Washington and not playing against the Philadelphia Phillies. Much to the surprise of everybody on this show, because we all offered predictions of when we thought he would come back. The most aggressive was Tiki, thought he'd be back last Wednesday. He was wrong. Lugie said Thursday. He was wrong. Sean said yesterday night.
Yeah.
He was wrong. My prediction, which is not wrong yet, but it may be, is Tuesday against the Atlanta Braves. Lindor met the media yesterday and said a lot. So I caught some of the things that you'll probably want to hear. Let's start with a very simple question that Francisco was asked. Will you play Tuesday night against the Atlanta Braves?
Does Tuesday seem like a possibility, Francisco, or is it hard to predict?
It's hard. I want to see how I wake up tomorrow, how I bounce back tomorrow. And tomorrow I'll continue to do more stuff, you know, and then go from there.
So no commitment tomorrow. Well, we'll see. Follow up. Are you confident, Francisco, you will play in the regular season at all?
Are you 100% confident you're going to play in the regular season?
I'm optimistic that I'm going to play. You know, I have faith. I believe in the Lord, and I believe in what the trainers are doing. I believe in I'm doing everything I can day in and day out to try to be in a position where I can get back and play. You know, I want to be there as much as anybody, and the trainers want me there as much as anybody, you know. So it's just a matter of hitting that spot that they want. They're going to feel safe, and they're going to feel good.
That's not exactly an optimistic answer.
No, I think anytime you say, look, he's a man of faith, I respect that. I trust God, and I trust the trainers.
Yeah.
That's your way of saying, I have no freaking idea.
Exactly, and that's obviously believer faith. I think all of that great. The moment it's in God's hands, he could be a Brave fan. You may not be back.
No, over the years, it feels like
that's
a Brave
fan.
There was a joke someone told me 20 years ago where Bobby Valentine and Joe Torre were in heaven, and they're meeting God.
Mm-hmm.
And God shows Bobby Valentine his house and says, this is your house. It's a very nice house. And Bobby says, it's great. Thank you very much, God. And he looks over the hill and he sees this mansion, this giant, like, beautiful mansion. And it's painted with Yankee stuff. And Bobby says, you know, I respect Joe Torre, but why the hell does Joe Torre get this beautiful mansion? And God responded, that's not Joe Torre's house. That's mine. It's God's a Yankee fan.
I got it.
You didn't like that joke?
No, I mean, I guess if you're a Met fan, you laugh. That sounds like a brutal one over some Shake Shack burgers and a rain delay.
Yeah, that's exactly where I heard it, too. All right, Francisco's then asked, what will it take for you to return to action and play?
To check every box, you know, and then I'm pretty sure I don't think I'm going to play pain-free. If I play this year, I don't think it's going to be pain-free. I'm okay with that. I just don't want it to be a constant pain where I can't bend over, you know, and then I put my teammates in a position where I'm not helping them as much as I can, you know. That's not fair for anybody. And, for me, it's to be in a position where if it's going to hurt, it's going to come and go.
That answer, more than even the two previous answers, sounds like a guy that's not coming back. He issued the "if I play in the regular season" card.
Right. And talking about bending over, as Evan, your guys had a lot of back problems. You know, that's always that, all it takes is one bend and you can't get back up. Here's the problem with the whole thing, above anything else. It feels like we're looking for a target date for him to come back with an unpredictable injury, and that's fine. But even if he does come back, how can you trust with a back injury? It doesn't creep up within eight innings.
Well, two things. So, number one, you're right. And Francisco even addressed that, which is, I don't want to come back and have to leave a game after three or four innings. We saw that on Sunday against Philadelphia, and that is certainly on the table. So, that's number one. He comes back. How long does he last? The second thing is he compromised and effective? What Lindor said in that clip was, even if I come back, I'm not going to be pain-free. And you hear that, and obviously, you love the fact that the guy's willing to play with pain.
Right.
But how does that affect him? Like, is he the MVP caliber player? And then you have to ask yourself a very loaded question. It's loaded, but I'm going to ask it.
Let's ask it.
What's better, 100% of Luis Angel Acuna or 65% of Francisco Lindor? And I know that's a nutty question to ask when Acuna's played a handful of games in the major leagues.
Yeah.
He's off to a great start. He is a rookie. We don't know what he's going to do. But we also know he's healthy.
Right.
Lindor and he's never going to tell us the percentage, but clearly he's never going to be 100%. Like, what is that? What does that even look like?
I think, unfortunately, you'll kind of know after this week versus Atlanta. Like, if he does not get back on the field in this Atlanta series, and the Mets do take 2 out of 3 after taking 3 of 4 from Philly, and it is Acuna who's still rolling along, at least playing productively, I think you have to take your chances with that formation rather than a 65% Lindor.
No, but here's the thing. I can ask the question. You can offer an opinion. I'll tell you right now, the moment he's cleared, he's playing.
I know.
But he's playing.
But if he's struggling and it's clear that he's holding back the team.
Well, but that's the thing.
Will Mendy step up and go, you're hurting us out there?
We haven't seen him struggle. Like, think about it. When he played on Sunday, for the 5 minutes he played, he led the game off with a base hit.
True.
He came through. Here's the last clip from Lindor, and this one's scary. How bad was it last Sunday when he had to leave that game?
Last Sunday, I couldn't really walk. You know, I was rolling out of bed. Right now, I can touch my daughters and make sure they're staying here with me. So that's a good thing. I mean, I'm definitely improving. You know, it's slower than what I would love it to be.
You said you're unlikely to be able to play without pain. How concerning is that?
It's not, because we all play with pain. You know, I think players will be lying if they say, "Oh, I feel 100%." You know, they're probably gonna say, "I feel 100%," but there's something that's bothering them. You know, and we understand that we depend on our body. When you depend on your body, that's part of it. You know, at the end of the day, we just gotta make sure we're in a good spot.
After listening to all these clips, I would like to make a new Francisco Lindor prediction. And we're all offered that a possibility because y'all got it wrong. Y'all thought he was going to be back on the homestand.
Yep.
But after listening to him speak, I do not think he's playing this Atlanta series. I don't think he's going to be in the lineup tomorrow night. He has not faced live pitching. He's talking about the pain that he's in. He still needs to be cleared. There's a lot of boxes to check. He even said, with one of those clips we played, if I play in the regular season, so he's opened up the possibility he may not. If I had to guess right now, and I don't think it's fully related to being up by 2 games. I think a lot of it is he's in pain. This is a really bad issue that maybe we didn't want to admit a week ago. Maybe we didn't want to wrap our head around it because it felt like so impossible to be without a guy who's making a late push for the MVP. But listening to him speak, and I hope I'm wrong. I really hope he's in the lineup tomorrow night. because as much as that loaded question of 60% Lindor, 100% Acuna, once Lindor's cleared, I want him out there. But I don't think he's going to be out there for this series against Atlanta.
Yes, and if he's not, Evan, I got to be real. You got to think about the long-term ramifications of an October and try to prepare yourself for a long October. I almost feel like he has to appear in at bat Saturday or Sunday of the final weekend next weekend, because the last thing you want is him getting pulled from a game three innings into game one, and then you feeling like, oh, do we have to remove him from the roster, and he misses the next round, you know?
Yeah, two. So roster-wise, not to bore anybody with this, they've never had an IL decision because, remember, you've got extra guys on the roster. You have an extra position player. Come postseason time, the rule is this. If a guy is taken off a postseason roster spot, he has to miss the following round, too.
That's a big deal.
So you're right that there's that risk. My prediction now. My original prediction was Tuesday. You could scratch it. I do not think he's going to be in the lineup tomorrow. I think he will be in the lineup in game 162. Sunday. I think that final Sunday of the season now, he's going to come back. Now, I'm hopeful it's a game that doesn't even matter and he's just testing himself. That's what I hope the situation is.
And that's the smart play. For anybody that's going to call and say, you know, that's an irrelevant game. No, it's relevant to what we said with the playoff.
Yeah, it could be relevant in terms of the playoffs. By the way, let's not rule that out. But I think if the Mets even have a playoff spot clinched, which is the dream scenario, I think he's going to push himself to come back on Sunday. But I do not think he's going to play in this Braves series. Tommy, what's your prediction?
Well, as you know, positive Tommy will never lie to you. And I believe in the power of positivity. I believe in the power of the Posturepedic. And I will say this. When Francisco Lindor is ready to come back, he will be playing baseball for the Mets.
What is that?
God.
That's not a prediction.
Through the power of positivity and the power of the Posturepedic Masters, Francisco Lindor will be playing baseball as the DH for the Mets.
Okay,
Acuna at shortstop.
I appreciate that you offered he's going to DH, which is different. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll give you that. Yeah. You said the power of the
power of the Posturepedic, which is a mattress.
Yeah, that didn't work. He was just at home for the last week and a half. He didn't play.
That was the other thing. It's 4:42 on this Monday. Positive Tommy was way wrong. He said it was related to Lindor sleeping on bad mattresses in Philadelphia.
Holiday Inn.
He has been home now, and we still haven't seen him.
So you're not going to offer a prediction.
I did. I said when he's ready to play, he will be
out there. That's not a prediction. You know what that tells me?
Francisco Lindor will play baseball for the Mets in the regular season this season.
Oh, okay, that's something then. What day? I said Sunday. You want to give me a day or you're not going to give me a day?
He will be in the lineup tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
Bro, I hope you're right. That's my original prediction.
Here's the thing,
you're right.
And in all seriousness, I was being serious, but in all seriousness, backs are backs. He could be in the lineup tomorrow. It's a back.
I do agree. For anyone who thinks, especially listening to Francisco with those clips we played, that the Mets are not telling us something, I don't think that's the case. I think that backs are very unpredictable.
Yeah.
What they didn't tell us, what Francisco didn't tell us, was that last Sunday he couldn't bend over.
Right. And look,
I didn't know that last Sunday.
And when his back is his back, it's David Wright's back. And when David Wright's back was David Wright's back, it was Don Mattingly's back.
That's true. And speaking of David Wright's back, this whole thing is very scary. Because as much as I want to win this season, as much as I want Lindor in this lineup right now, gimme, 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 gimme. I think as a Met fan, you fear what happened to David Wright. And you just fear that this back issue could be a long-term thing. Forget the short-term.
No,
the short-term sucks. This is one season. But next year, in year whatever of his contract, with about 15 years left on his deal, you hope that this isn't going to be something that he's going to have to manage the rest of his career. Because I know you were just trying to make a joke.
Yeah, but
look at Don Mattingly and David Wright's careers. Look at Eduardo Alfonso's career. I hate to say it.
It is probably the least sexy, but the obvious truth, it's the body part you never want to see get hurt because it's something that can linger forever.
And forever.
Forever.
The good news is this, and there is good news. The Mets have responded to every piece of adversity they've had, including this, including the MVP candidate missing an entire homestand, and the Mets responding by going 6-1.
Yep.
Do I think they can keep that up? Not necessarily. Do I think Luis Angel Acuna is going to hit 350? Not necessarily, but this team has already shown you, and baseball is so different than the other sports. Like, when Jalen Brunson went down, even if the Knicks had advanced, look, they had no shot without Jalen Brunson.
Right.
We all know that. And basketball is that way. And I think you could argue football's that way with a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Like when Aaron Rodgers went down last year, things like that. If Pat Mahomes went down for the entire postseason, what would happen? You know, is Carson Wentz really leading them to a Super Bowl? Baseball is so different in that as important as one guy is, you can still win without one guy.
Right.
The Atlanta Braves won a World Series without Ronald Acuna Jr.
Yep.
Like, it can happen. So it doesn't eliminate you the way it feels like it eliminates you in the other major sports.
Definitely, because it all, you know, pitching, everything, all of that is completely different. But look, the Mets have rolled along here, 3-4, positive vibes. Positive vibes.
Linsanity!
And I think
Linsanity.
Wow.
Feels like 100 years ago.
I think what we're seeing here
positivity.
Is with Acuna and Lindor, this is a lot of reason why sports talk radio hosts don't take off, because as soon as someone else sits in that chair, maybe they're better than them. Acuna is playing lights out. So one door closes, another one opens, and we get Acuna.
Yeah, but well, look.
The Acuna, next big thing.
Acuna's a wonderful prospect, and he's off to a great start. But his future with the New York Mets is not going to be a shortstop unless Francisco Lindor is a major
injury. I'm saying the future's now, meaning he has contributed and he's been a spark.
Right.
So positively, from this injury, we've gotten to see Luis Angel Acuna.
No, we absolutely have, but it's not like he's taking Lindor's job. He's not.
Not taking the job.
He's
but
not.
He's,
like, he's going to earn his way a job for next year, whether it's at second base or center
that's
field.
That's my point, is that he's showing what he's made of, and he's been great for them over the last week. Why can't that continue?
Well, that's the hope. I mean, honestly, it's not only Acuna keeping this up. It's everyone who stepped up keeping it up. Brandon Nimmo, to his credit, has gotten some huge hits over the last couple of days. Francisco Alvarez has gotten red hot. So it continues to be this group effort where you need guys to perform while you're without your best player. And it's a testament to this team that they have been able to overcome this. But after listening to Lindor, I'm just saying, like, I didn't hear that and say, oh, he'll be back Tuesday. Like, I will now be mildly surprised if we see him at all in this Atlanta series.
But credit to the Mets for keeping us with the confidence, because they have rolled along. That's the main thing.
No, absolutely. Dude, they won 6 out of 7 without their MVP candidate.
Real quickly, too, we just saw this on TV. Is there a least sexy man in America than Trevor Lawrence? I just realized. What an ugly man.
Who are you to make that comment?
Who are both of you?
I didn't make the comment, so don't attack me.
Evan, that was Paulie.
I think we've officially hit the point in time. We are all better looking than Trevor Lawrence. And had he not had long hair, and he had, like, short hair, we'd be looking, oof, frying pan for a face.
Wow.
Are you new to the planet, though?
I mean, jeez.
He's a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Just saying. It just dawned on me. Like, wow, not a good-looking man.
Can I tell you a man that's worse looking than Trevor Lawrence?
Sure.
And he played the same position.
Played quarterback uglier.
Yes. I know who's... Go ahead.
Loogie's shaking his head because he knows what I'm going to say.
Sean, you should get this. It's local ties.
Mike Glennon.
Oh, yeah. That he's so awkward.
Giraffe
that
neck. Yeah. Tough.
And I feel bad saying that. Like, who the hell am I to call anybody ugly?
Nah, but I think we're all entitled to opinions. You know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
You got me into the sewer. I don't like that I do that. I want to retract what I said. I want to apologize to the Glennon family. I have no standing to call any other man ugly.
He's fucking.
So I want to apologize.
I will. Trevor Lawrence is
call
atrocious.
Someone handsome to like sort of counter the universe.
I'll tell you who's handsome. And I noticed yesterday with his helmet off, telling all the fans to calm down. Dak Prescott, handsome man.
Yeah, he's a handsome guy.
Very handsome. Fella.
Very handsome.
That. Agreed.
I'll give you that. Now, do I have to name a handsome man?
Yes. Give me a handsome man.
Yes! Here we go! Giancarlo Stanton.
A hubba hubba. He's
more,
right.
More muscular, beefy, like strong guy than I think like good, you know, old school looks.
Good structure on the face.
Yeah, that's a good looking guy. Yeah.
Jawbone.
I'll totally give him that. Let's get back to some of your calls. Jim is in Elmont. How are you, Jim?
Hi, guys. But first, before I get to my points, I've known as Jim is Elmont, but my last name is Glennon. I'm the twin brother. I'm only kidding, guys. No, I'm just, earlier in the hour, you were talking about the possibility of maybe a Subway Series. Yeah. And the way the Mets have been rolling, like you said, every hurdle in the way, they clear. Everything that comes in the way, the Mets seem to overcome.
Right.
And as a Yankee fan, I said this to my brother last week. Both teams make it Subway Series, or neither team makes it. Now, I know Sean's going to get upset with me with my pick. I would pick B. At 2000, when the Yankees were facing the Mets and beat them, it was an exhale. The Mets are playing with house money this year. This was a reassessment year. Early June, Mets fans are getting ready for football training camp. And it's been an amazing run. As a Yankee fan, I don't care for the Mets, but I have to try to be objective, and they've been amazing. They're going to blow through the tape here. They're charging to the finish line, and in baseball, there are no powerhouse teams. The Mets could pull a Phillies, Arizona. They definitely can make the World Series, and they're going to be hard out, very hard out.
How do you answer that, Sean? So, again, what this Yankee fan said was, if given the choice, Yankees are in the World Series first time since 2009, but they've got to face the Mets.
Right.
Or neither team's in the World Series. He is so afraid of losing a Subway World Series, something they have not done to the Mets.
Right.
And haven't done in New York since 1955, that he would prefer not even having the risk of not making it.
What kind of question is that? I want to get to the World Series. I haven't seen my team in a World Series since 2009. If they play the Mets and they happen to lose the Mets, it will be bone-crushing. I'll be killed here. I'll be killed on the air. But in the end, my team still got to a World Series. I want to feel that feeling again. And frankly, if the Mets beat them, I still go, we're still split 1-1.
You can't say that.
We're split 1-1. You got your one, we have one.
I don't think it works that way.
Well, it does work that way for me. That's why I've already built it in Yankee fans. Know that that's...
But understand, there's a generation of people listening to us right now who don't remember 2000. And I know that sounds crazy because you remember it.
Well, that's their problem.
I get it, but to them, when they see you in the streets or they tweet at you or they call you, it's not 1-1.
It is for me.
It's 1-0.
The 24-year-old kid could stick it. I'm telling him it's 1-1.
Yeah, I don't want to face the New York Yankees in the World Series. I have thought that in 2000. I thought that in 2006. I'll say that right now. With that said, if you're telling me I get my third crack as a fan at a world championship in baseball by being in the World Series, I'll obviously take the risk.
And a team you owned this year. The Met fans should be confident. I wouldn't even say they should be the favorite. I mean, they've been the best team in baseball. The Mets should expect to be there. They should honestly beat the Yankees in 5 games in a World Series.
I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing.
You swept them in the regular season.
You're going the other way with it.
Just telling you. You guys should feel really confident.
I would not want to face...
It'd be disappointing if the Mets lost them.
Thank you. I don't want to face the Yankees in the World Series. Like, if we're in this hypothetical scenario, and I would sign for this immediately, where the Mets have won the pennant, kind of like 2000. They're in it, right? And the Yankees are playing Game 7 against the Astros at Yankee Stadium, I will be rooting passionately for the Astros. I would not want to deal with 2000 all over again.
Really?
Yeah. See, wouldn't want to do it.
How dare you?
How dare I? I'm just giving you my honest opinion.
You sit here and tell these lies to me and all the Yankee fans. Follow the bouncing ball.
Go ahead.
The Yankees should be scared of the Astros because it's their daddy, all the playoff success, this, that, and the other thing. And yet, in the other breath, you as a Met fan are saying you'd rather face the Astros than the Yankees?
Correct, yeah.
They're the World Series pedigree team, Evan. So why does it not work the other way?
Because if I lose to them, I go into my cubbyhole. And I just say, I'm like you. I can't beat the Astros. It sucks. I'm devastated. I move on. If I lose to the Yankees, we're covering a parade right after it's over.
Yeah.
Half the town, more than half the town, is celebrating it. Like, you have to watch the celebration right in front of you. So it's not about the team.
Loser mentality. You swept the Yankees. You should have all the confidence.
It's a loser mentality. I got newsflash for you. I can't believe he doesn't know this. Loser mentality. Well, I'm going to break some news for you.
Uh-huh.
This is unbelievable. I'm going to stand up because I can't believe you don't know this.
Oh, I'm anxious.
My name is Evan Roberts. I'm a loser!
88?
Like, you know that! Oh, what a loser mentality, like you're surprised.
I feel very ashamed.
I'm a loser.
I sat there with you and Loogie taking the stupid picture after the Yankees beat the Mets, or the Mets beat the Yankees. Confidence.
Sure. Are the Giants back? They're 1-2. They've got a chance to beat the Cowboys and get even more on the Giants, including did Daniel Jones actually play well last night?
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.